Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Lamed, Pasek Chaf Gimel. Pasek Chaf Gimel, Eva is continuing describing his dire situation. He's praying. He made mention in the last few psukim that he would very much like to die. Pasek Chaf, he said, Ashava Elecha V'loi Saneni, I cry out to you, Hashem, which we interpreted to mean. Which we interpret to mean that the Eve cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would like his misery to come to an end, even if it would mean it would come to an end through death. And now in Pasuk of Gimel, he really says it pretty explicitly. He says, Ki yodati, I'm aware, Moves Tishiveni, that death is around the corner. Tishiveni means it is coming upon me, Lashon of Hashava, it's returning. Death is coming my way, or I am being taken in the direction of death. Ubeis moed, I'm coming to the place of meeting lecholchai. This is a very, very interesting expression. This is death. Death is described as being the beis moed, the place of meeting of all living. All living get off. They come. Their lives come to an end, and they get together in the next world in this place called the beis moed, which really refers to the cemetery. The cemetery is the place where all living people, they get together and they rest in peace. Rabbi Schwab, in his commentary, writes that in Frankfurt, there was a trolley, whatever it was, and the last stop was the cemetery. So as you know, when you go on the train today, when you get to the last stop, they say, this is the last stop. Last stop, everyone get off. Everyone has to leave the train. This is the last stop. So when he went on that train in Frankfurt, he said it always hit home that when the conductor, they got the last stop, this is the end. This is the end. The end of the line. All passengers must depart. And he always took that as a hint, like, what, this is the cemetery. And in the cemetery, everyone will ultimately find their place. This is the place.
You still have a chance. You pay another fare.
Pay another fare. You go back to the direction.
I once heard that a guy went to an unveiling. And I learned Thomas von Saver. So he didn't know how to get there. So he called on the GPS to check him out.
You have reached your final destination.
Oh, when I got there, he said you were out to your final destination.
You have reached your final destination. The cemetery is the final destination. Okay, so this is what it means. A base molechol chay. Let's look at the mitzvahs pasuk of Gimel. Ki yodati. Yov says, I am aware. Ashul if you go lecha tashus yodati. Due to my intense weakness, this entire parakeet Yov is describing his pathetic situation, his weakness. Yodati shechish maher. Very soon, shechish maher means an expression. In a very short time, tishiveni, I will be returned. I will be restored. El hamoves, I will be returned to death. Lava el hakever, I will be direct towards death, to the grave. So according to the Mesudas, the word Beis Moed, the Beis Moed is the grave. It is the grave where all living people ultimately find their place. Pasuk of Gimel in the Mesudas in Rashi, Ki yodati, ki yodea yisi, asher lamus tishiveni. I am well aware that I am going to return to death. Now, I don't know exactly why we call to return. It just seems to be on a very simple level, it's an expression. That's where I am headed. It's not that you're actually returning, because we don't come from a state of death. A person comes from the Olam HaNeshamos. That's not called death. Death is after you live in this world, then there's a new state called death. But the idea, the expression here means, I'm going back to the world of the neshamos. That's where I'm heading. Makom shum moed, a place that's a meeting place, l'chol chai, every living creature, bekever, and that place where we all get together is in the grave. That's where we enter into the next world. Okay, now we come to Pasek Chof Dalet. Eov is begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give him some relief. Ach, one thing I am certain, ach is surely, lo vi'i yishloch yad. Not in the e will HaKadosh Baruch Hu send forth his hand. Im, but in im, I am certain, im means but, or however, b'fido in pido lohen shua, there is salvation. There are many interpretations and translations of this possibility. We learn one thing at a time. We learn like the Mitzudos. V'i means the grave. Now, why does the word V'i mean the grave? Where do you have a present, V'i, that the word? Because E means a wasteland. V'iye hasadeh. The wasteland of the field, the open area of the field. A grave, a desert, a graveyard, a cemetery is basically a wasteland. There's nothing productive, nothing grows, nothing happens there. It's a part of the earth that has been set aside to be a place where nothing will ever grow, nothing will ever be produced, and that's why dead people are buried in this land. So the word E is used as we borrow the term wasteland, and we use it in reference to the grave. And what he's saying here is, at least when I die, I won't suffer. At least that's what he believes. We know that's not necessarily the case. The neshama can go to Gehenna, and all different types of terrible things can happen to the neshama after a person dies. But Eve here is saying it can't be that bad. The torture that I'm going through now is so severe. I look forward very much to my death, because I know that at least in my death, Hashem will no longer send forth His hand and torture me, at least the way I know it in this world. And then he repeats the same idea in a different form, bifido. Again, it's another very unusual word which means destruction, shever. I know that in my destruction, meaning in my death, destruction refers to his demise. In my death, in my demise, in my destruction, lohen, in that situation, there, shua, I will find salvation. Shua comes from the word Yeshua, salvation, meaning when I'm dead, Hashem will no longer torture me. It's over. What will happen to my neshama? That's a different story. But at least my body will no longer experience this pain and torment and this torture. Let's look at the mitzvot. It's a very hard process. Let's look at the mitzvot. Let's first take a look at the mitzvot tzion, how it translates these two new words, which we have never had yet so far. The word v'i and the word b'fido. He translates the word v'i b'kever. The word v'i means a grave. Also, why is the word v'i mean a kever? Also, kital, it's made like a mound. V'dagur. Dagur is another word which is similar to a mound. V'hu miloshon li'i hasadeh. Liasada means a wasteland. It's two words which go together. It means a field that is used to collect and to hold waste, which means it's an empty piece of earth that's not productive. A graveyard is a piece of land which is not being used for anything productive in this world. Bifido, the next word of the Mitzudos Tzio, means in Shever. It means destruction. And it's going to be used here in reference to his body, my death. When a person dies, that is the destruction, the ruin of a person's guf. Now let's take a look at the Mitzudos David. Ach loy vi'i, ach Nechemosi. The only comfort I have in this situation that I find myself is knowing that it's going to come to an end. At some point in time, it will come to an end because I will die. Ki lo yishvach makas yad. The comfort I have is ki lo yishvach makas yad. Hashem will not send forth His hand to bring torture to me. Bekever, in the grave, asher, period, asher b'shivron hakever. Because in the shivron, in the destruction that will come upon my body, in the grave, tihye Yehoshua will be salvation lehayisurin lohen from them. So the word lohen means, it means from them. What's them? Them refers to the suffering. Yeshua, salvation will come to me from the suffering, bifido, in my state of destruction, when I will lie peacefully in the grave, and then Hashem will no longer be able to send forth His hand and torture me. Ki oz yelchu lohem, then the suffering will go away. I have no intent to come back to come back. He's saying to them to be restored to my prior state of health, my success. His friends kept on telling him that if only you will confess to your sins, Hashem will forgive you and he will restore you to your previous state of health and success. Eve says it's nonsense. I'm at a point that's beyond return. There's no way my children are going to come back to life. There's no way I'm going to my body is the point where it's not capable of getting better. I'm at a point beyond return, and the only thing I can hope for is to die, and my suffering will come to an end. And that's how he summarizes this pasuk. This is the way we translate the pasuk according to the Mitzvah. It's a difficult pasuk. Ach loy vi'i yishlach yad. I am aware that in the grave Hashem will no longer send forth His hand, and I'm aware. Second part of the pasuk. Im bifido. At the moment, at that time of my destruction, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy me by bringing about my death, Lohen, to them, referring to the suffering, Shua, I will once and for all finally have some degree of relief, of salvation. He's not giving up. He's saying, and this is what he said. Yes, he is. This is what we learned yesterday. Yesterday, he was actually praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to die. I beg you, Hashem, let me die. The fact that I'm still alive is a miracle. Al pi derech hateva, the suffering that I'm enduring is so great, I should have already died. And the fact that I'm still alive is causing me enormous pain and suffering. And he's begging that he should die. And that's what he wants. And he has, there's no hope of me ever getting better, coming back to my former state, like his friend. Told him that would happen. Yes, you are. Yes. If the situation is dire, yes, you are. Not only are you allowed to pray for yourself, other people are allowed to pray that you should die. If that's your wish, yes. Many Paiskim said that a person, when it comes to a point in time when he is in such a state of misery, yes, he is allowed to die. If that's what he wants, yeah. You're not allowed to take your life. No, you're not allowed to take your life. Assisted suicide is kinega kol ha'torah kula, but you are allowed to pray to Hashem that you Hashem should take my life because I can't bear this suffering any longer.
Is there a formal tefillah?
No, not that I'm aware of. It's not in the art school sitter. I have not seen it. Art school published a new sitter, the sitter for this generation. I don't think they included such a prayer in the ad, like 150 new pages of new tefillahs for this generation. Today, people like to say Perek Shira, the Geras Haramban. Today, we live in. Did you ever hear of Perek Shira 10 years ago?
No,
never heard of it. Well, today everyone knows. So today, in the new article, Siddur, Perek Shira. What?
There were never Yoshin signs when I was a kid.
Okay, so that's why they call it the Siddur for the new generation, for this generation. I think I saw it here in the shulah. I saw it somewhere. No, not here. I know where I saw it. I saw it on a different shul. Okay, let's go further. So this is the parish.
Now, I...
No one ever came back to tell us what's going on the other side. Okay.
It's a gamble. It's a gamble. You know, I don't know.
Okay, let's see. Let's take a look at Rashi. There's a hard Rashi. Rashi pasuk chaf dalet. Ach loy vi'i. What does it mean, vi'i? Rashi doesn't really explain what vi'i is. It seems uva hashchosa. We're going to assume that Rashi learns vi'i means a grave, just like the mitzudos. Ach, not in vi'i, in the grave, uva hashchosa, and in a state of destruction. Hayirogil hashayfet l'shloach yad. Is it normal for a judge to send forth his hand? Meaning that once a person is dead, your dead is dead. What are they going to do to you? They're not going to dig up your body and burn it. Once a person already has died, that's it. He is free from suffering. It's not normal for the judge, in this context means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the shayfet, to send forth his hand and bring about suffering. What is the word vi'i mean? So similarly, the Rashi is saying the same thing as the mitzudos. It means a grave. Where do we ever find the word vi'i in reference to a grave? This is very unusual. So he says, k'mo li'i hasadeh, the wasteland, the waste of the hasada, which is translated the waste of the land, a section of land that is set aside to collect waste. A graveyard is a part, a piece of land that is not going to be used for the benefit of this world, at least not in any constructive form. You're not going to go mine gold and silver, you're not going to build buildings upon a graveyard, you're not going to do anything productive. It's miyuchad for people who have passed to be put and stored in this location. So we borrow the word e-waste for a graveyard. Now next words, imbifido. What does it mean, bifid? Bifid, seemingly the Rashi is saying the same exact thing as the mitzvah. Bifid means destruction. Another unusual word, imbifido. Im hoyashlech pid, shu shever. Pid means shever, destruction. If Hashem would send forth his destruction, al bir yosef, upon his creatures. Now here Rashi is saying something different than the mitzudos. Lohen shua. Now before we read this Rashi, let's review. According to the mitzudos, there's repetition in the pasuk. When I'm in the grave, Hashem will no longer send forth his hand and torture me. When I am in a state of shever, in a state of pit, of destruction, that's when my body will find salvation, will be free from the suffering. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that when you, Hashem, bring suffering, if we study the world, let me explain it outside, then we'll try to read the hard words inside, there's always a silver lining. Although one nation suffers, the suffering of one nation is always to the benefit of another nation. In other words, Rashi is saying something very profound. Hashem doesn't bring upon this world pure evil. Everything that's evil for one person, or harmful for one person or one country, is of benefit for some other country, some other nation. If one country is, there's usually a country that's subjugating another country. So when one country is destroyed, the people who were suffered under their control are now released from their suffering. In other words, what he's saying is, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you never bring down upon this world something which is 100% harmful, 100% evil. There's always some benefit somewhere hidden in something which appears to be evil and harmful and painful. But Eev says, but I don't see how this applies to me. I suffer. And in the suffering that I endure, there is absolutely no benefit. Not for me, not for my family, not for my friends, not for the world. There is absolutely no salvation that is coming along, being packaged along with my suffering. And therefore, it doesn't make sense. It must be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to show me, you have to do something, at least I can see some silver lining in this form of suffering that I endure. That's the basic gist of what he's saying.
How do you interpret that? It's a good question.
What's
a good point.
That's what Sefer Eiv is all about. Sefer Eiv is that there are really no rules. That's really the big message of Sefer Eiv. The bottom line of Sefer Eiv is this: that people suffer, and they really, Eve is right. There's no reason, there is no logical explanation as to why it happens. And Eve has to come to the conclusion that a person has to have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to such a degree to accept that if this is Hashem's will, so be it. I have to sacrifice my mind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eve, throughout the entire Sefer, was not willing to do that. Chazal keep on comparing Eve to Avram. Avram Avinu also suffered. He went through the Ten Nisyonos, and there was no reason for the Ten Nisyonos. There's no logical explanation why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon these difficulties upon Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu accepted without questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without being bitter. Hashem told Avram Avinu, sacrifice your son Yitzchak, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, ki b'Yitzchak b'lekar l'cho zara. And all of these answers are not satisfying. I told you only to board him up, I didn't tell you to actually slaughter him. These are all nice little things, but they don't really answer the big question: why in the world will you tell me to sacrifice my son when you promised me? You made a promise. Ki bi Yitzchak yikar l'chazara. And what's the answer? Is Ribbono shel Olam, I acknowledge I don't understand, and I'm willing to sacrifice my mind before you due to my fear and love that I have for you. And Eve at least until the end of the Sefer, does not have that madrega of emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he have demands to understand why is it so. Yeah.
Not only does he not complain, but by Yashkei Avraham.
Not only by Avraham, he gets up early. Avraham does it with enthusiasm, with emunah, with a love. Yeah. Mr.
Avraham. Did Avraham Avinu know that he was being tested all the tests? Here he has no inkling what's going on.
Every time a person suffers, it's a test. Every time something doesn't make sense, this is a test. The answer is yes. Everyone has a test. When things don't go your way, by definition, you are being tested. You have to assume Hashem is testing me. If you have a Munah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu is testing me. And are you able to deal with it? That's the question. Every time something does not go your way, yes, that is a test. So L'chay, we have a right to assume Avram was aware that he was being tested. Eve also is aware that he's being tested. But it's a very difficult test. And you have to just continue, carry on. Okay, let's take a look at...
If people believe, so to speak, in this way Rashi explains it, that with every catastrophe there is some kind of silver lining, at least there's a partial explanation for tzaddik for Raul.
Yeah, but that it doesn't fully explain tzaddik v'ra'lo. It explains that for
because it's not all bad. There is some good.
But for me, it's bad. For someone else on the other side of the world, it's good. It was some revelation, scientific revelation that came along with the catastrophe, and maybe for the future, we. But
if you apply to the individual this concept, this
okay. So but. Every individual feels that I'm a self, I'm a world. Adam, one person, is an olam katan. So it might be that my sacrifice was a benefit for the world. But for me, it was a sacrifice. I didn't get benefit. So yeah, you're right. In the big picture of things, we understand that there are good things that are happening in the world. In the big, but for the individual, it's still tzaddik v'ra'lo, which is very painful. Yeah.
The chazal is chazal ain't burnings for the Hashem Yisrael.
Yeah. Well, at this point in time, it was before. It seems it was before.
But how do we interpret that? Is there
an earthquake in China? How do we interpret such
a tsunami
in Indonesia?
Yes,
that's what the Chazal say.
Israel, it's always related, there's interrelation of some sort.
I don't know the answer. That's what Chazal say. Chazal say everything that happens is a wake-up call for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to remind us. There is Din V'Cheshbon. Everything that's happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, there's a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadik, Atzur, Tan, and Polo, Kichol, Duchav, Mishpat. But it's also a wake-up call. Primarily, it's a wake-up call for us to pay attention, to learn from, to do tshuva, so we don't suffer. I mean, I don't know. We don't. So we do suffer, but I don't know the answer. Let's take a look at Rashi now. With that idea in mind, let's try to translate some of these hard words in Rashi. Rashi says, "Hem lohen shua." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends upon this world pid, which means shever. When Hashem brings upon this world a churban, a destruction, lohen, in that destruction, shua, there is salvation. Did I say that? Shua, there's salvation. What is the shua? Hoya mishashon tanchumin bimiksas. There is delight. Shashua. Kiyeled shashuin. Haben Yakeli Ephraim im Yelet Shashun, a delightful child. So here the word Shua does not mean salvation. Rashi seems to be saying, Rashi is learning a slightly different translation. It's not exactly so different, but it means there is pleasure. With Churban, there will always result some degree of pleasure and delight. For whom? Well, for the victims. If a nation is destroyed, and a nation is oppressing another nation, then the victims will now take pleasure that our aggressor has ceased to exist. Hoya mishashon tanchumin bimiksas. Now, what does that mean? Here Rashi comes and explains these cryptic words. Zachin perishu rabbeinu ein hakadosh baruch hu make uma shveha tzidoi. Hakadosh baruch hu does not hit a nation and its inhabitants to the side. Ella mevi pid the does uma shve. I'm sorry. Ein. I'm not sure how to translate this. Ein hakadosh baruch hu make uma. And then there are two more words here. Umoy umo shiva tzidoi. And cast it to the side. I'm not sure. Let's go further. Elamevi pid lezu. Hashem does not destroy one nation and destroy the neighbors, but instead HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys one nation but brings the light to the neighbors. Bechaverta, Shaloksa Kvar, who has already in the past been smitten, Umisna Chenes Ba, and the one nation has comfort in the fact that their enemy has been destroyed. For example, he brings stories in Tanakh. Hevi pid la Ashur v'she'esha b'mitzrayim. Ashur oppressed Egypt. Okay, this goes back to the time of Yeshaya. The time of Yeshaya, Ashur controlled the world. Ashur conquered the entire world. And after they conquered Egypt, in fact, when they were about to conquer Yerushalayim, they got word that there was a rebellion in Egypt. So Melech Ashur, Sancheriv, said, you know what, tell Chizkiyahu, I got an emergency. I got a fire to put out. Back in Egypt. There's some problem there, but don't worry, I'm coming back. Don't be happy that I'm leaving. I'll be back in a few minutes. I just got to take care of something in Egypt. They're rebelling against me. And indeed, he went back to Egypt. In fact, it was a silver lining for Klal Yisrael. He went to Egypt. He conquered the people of the cities that were rebelling, and he took with them all of their spoils, their gold and silver, and they brought it now to finish off Yerushalayim. And then Sancheriv and all of his soldiers, they were all killed. Sancheriv survived, all the whole army, they all were killed. And they had left on the battlefield all of the gold and silver that they brought from Egypt. So here's an example. Hashem brought a korban to Ashur, and in the process, v'she'esha b'mitzrayim, it was delightful for Egypt to see that Ashur was defeated. Shneamar, he tafti mone amoin. I have done good to the portion Okay, that refers to, I don't know the exact details, but it refers to this idea that Egypt would benefit from the defeat and the fall of Ashur. Another example. There were other times in history where it was the other way around, where the dominating power in the world was Egypt. Egypt had shlita, had power over Egypt, over Ashur, and when Egypt was defeated, then Ashur rejoiced. It's a later point in time. Fast forward 200 years. This pasuk is referring to is 200 years later. So according to this interpretation, what does it mean? Eov is saying, Ribbono shel Olam, it's not fair. Whenever you bring to this world pid, korban, there is always a silver lining. But I don't see it. I don't see any silver lining for me. All I see is pure korban. And that's the pasuk of Dal, Ach lo yvi yishlach yad. But the first part of the pasuk Rashi agrees with the Mitzudos that at least when I'm dead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will no longer send forth His hand. It's not fair though, because in Bepido, he's complaining according to Rashi, in Bepido, Lohen Shua, normally in the normal circumstances, when there is pid in someone's destruction, there is salvation. But not for me. For me, it's pure destruction. Or maybe you want to say like this. You want to say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys me, maybe that's what it means. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys me, Bipido, there will be salvation. There will be salvation that I will stop suffering. My ultimate korban that comes through my death at least will have a silver lining that my yisurim will cease. So that would fit in line with the idea that Rashi says there's always going to be some pleasure that comes with korban. Okay, then Rashi concludes with another interpretation. V'o yiftar, lohen shua tfila, utechina mo'eles bohem. It refers to prayer. That in Bifido, that according to this interpretation, shua means I'm praying. Eov says, I pray to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should bring an end to my existence. Okay, this goes back to what we learned in the previous Pesukim, Pasuk Chaf Ashava, I cry out, and Pasuk Tezayin, Yato Olai Tishtapich Nafshi. In these Pesukim, Eov mentioned that he wants to die. So here, according to Rashi's second interpretation, what he's saying over here is, Im Bifido Lohen Shua, we translate it backwards, my prayer to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that Bifido, that there shall be pid, that my death shall come quickly, so I stop suffering. Something along those lines. Okay, now there isn't. Yeah.
Interprets it as tefillah, but I don't think he interprets.
Yes. What does he say? I don't have a time. What does he say?
In bidon sire yikabel tzolosa. When I'm suffering, you should accept my tefillah.
When I'm suffering, in bifido lohen shu. While I'm suffering, accept. I should take me out of this situation. Okay, so another way of translating. During my time of suffering, I beg of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to my prayer and remove the suffering. Okay, that's another. Now there's one more interpretation I saw in the art scroll. The art scroll, I don't know the source. It's a very nice interpretation, and it ties into the Medrash I'm going to tell you in a few moments. It translates the word be'i not as a grave, but as a pile. And really, that's what Rashi and the Mitzvahs, when we borrow the word e, we use it as a grave. We borrow e haaretz, a wasteland. What's a wasteland? A place where you pile upon the earth garbage, a garbage dump. E means a pile, a large pile of garbage. Pid, not like Rashi, means a small amount. Little by little. And the Medrash uses the word pid to refer to a pid shel tarnegoles. Chickens, they peck. They peck away at their food and they eat food little by little. So pid means to take a small amount. And what Eve here is saying, according to this interpretation, is Ribbono shel Olam, if you want to torture me, bring the torture, bring the suffering upon me little by little, like a chicken pecks away at his food, then I would be able to endure, I would be able to deal with it. But don't dump a heavy load of punishment, of suffering upon me in one shot. It's too much to bear. So he says here, ach, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono shel Olam, only, if you want me to suffer, alright, I'll accept it. I'll be Eif. I am Eif. I'll accept the suffering. I'll accept it. But I'm making a condition with you, Hashem. Lo vi'i yishlach yad. Don't dump a large collection of suffering upon me in one shot that I can't deal with. What I can deal with, if this is your wish, if you want to bring suffering upon me, bepido, small amount. You can bring upon me small amounts of suffering little by little, which will accumulate small dosage of suffering little by little until I can, lohen, that, shua, that, the, I, there will be, I ask of you. Either it means shua, I pray of you, I make a request of you, bring it upon me in this fashion, or I'll be able to survive. There will be salvation to me. I will be able to endure the suffering if it's brought upon me little by little. But if you're going to bring it upon me in one large dose, then I'm going to be overwhelmed, I'm going to complain, I'm going to become an apikoros, and I'm going to die, and it's not going to be to anyone's benefit. So we have a new translation. The two words are contrasted one against the other. E means a pile, one large dump, a one large collection, versus pid, which means small dosages, small amounts. Very different, of course, in Rashi, and the Mitzudos were translated as a grave and shever. Yeah.
I think that's the second shot in the Targum. I don't understand most of the Targum.
Yeah, I don't see the Targum. Yeah, the second shot, yeah.
This is
the... Okay, read.
Ram lo lagarme yigareg machte in bechatote yishabi lahon aspo iso. Most of the words I don't understand. But chatate means...
Small amounts.
That may be what he's
right,
saying,
okay.
if you know I don't understand
Torah. So small amounts, again, now to contrast, this is really what it says in one of the Midrashim. It's not a Midrash, so Gemara and Avsech Tavod Azor. I'll read you the words of the Gemara. It's the beginning of the Zor Daf Dalit. Omar Rava, Maidik Siv, what does this Pasuk mean? The Gemara actually addressed the question, what is the meaning of Pasuk Chav Dalit? Ach loy vi'i yishlach yod, im bifido lohen shua. So the Gemara responds that this really is Hashem's message. The one who is speaking in this pasuk, according to the Gemara, okay, is not Eif. Hashem is speaking. Hashem is speaking to Klal Yisrael. Amar lohen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, kishani don es Yisrael, ein ani don oisam ke'umos ha'olam. I don't judge them like the nations of the world, which by the nations of the world I judge them ava asimena, which means I bring upon them punishment in one shot. El ani nifra mehem kipid shel tarnagolos. I punish them like a chicken coop. A chicken coop of a tarnagolos, shemina keres ma'at ma'at, it pecks away little by little, kach efra mehem la'at la'at, liftosa me'avoinam, sheyizku lo'olam haba. So Hashem is speaking, it's really what I just told you, lo'i vi'i yishlach yod, Hashem says, I will not send forth my hand upon you in one shot, because you will be overwhelmed, and chas v'shom klal Yisrael would be destroyed, there wouldn't be any remnants, but instead, in b'fido lohen shua, if I send my punishment upon my people, little by little, they'll be able to endure, and they will have for them salvation. Okay, so that's the basis. Every generation, Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes us a small amount for the Ma'aseh Egel. So, but that's very difficult, because why should this generation suffer what took place 3,000 years ago? We didn't do it. So you want to tell me, Yoni Kabbalah, we're Gilgulim, we're all part of the same choir from the same neshama. Not everyone is. Not everyone goes for that, for Inyani Kabbalah. But you have to understand the Torah al derech pshat. You can't only look for Inyani Kabbalah to understand why bad things happen to good people.
Unless it means that, you know, there's still something of that attitude even in later.
The Gemara says that Hashem punishes future generations if they cleave to the evil deeds of their parents. So if the bad midos of our ancestors still within us, then we indeed to some degree are deserving of punishment. Okay, that's also very difficult, because even if you may have the bad character, if you didn't actually do it, so as long as you hold back, there's also some merit to that as well.
That's this positive aspect the other way around as well.
Yeah.
If you give it one big shot, it's all over.
But it's all over and there's nothing left. It's all, there's nothing left. That's what Chazal tells about the nations of the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu lets them accumulate sins to a large degree, and then Hashem punishes them in one shot, and then there's nothing left of them. But Klal Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, Hashem punishes us continuously, and that way we never receive a large dose of punishment, and that allows us to survive throughout all the generations. Okay, pasuk.
This is contrary to tshuva.
No, we always can do tshuva.
A little bit, if you give one big sex, you're finished.
Right, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to do tshuva by giving us small dosages, so we're able to recognize we're being punished, we can do tshuva. We can indeed do tshuva. This is a theme which we have many times in the Iyub and many times in Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Klal Yisrael differently than he punishes other nations. Other nations, Hashem allows them to there is no punishment, and the sins accumulate to the point when it's beyond the point of return, and they're destroyed completely. But we are punished little by little. Chas v'shalom. Okay, pasuk chaf hey imlo v'chis. Now Eiv goes. He winds down to the end of the parak by describing, by complaining. The same thing that he has done for the entire sefer. I don't deserve to suffer. I'm a good man. I'm compassionate. Imlo v'chis. Did I not cry for people that had a difficult life? People have a hard day. Kshayom is an expression, a difficult day, a tough day. Did I not sympathize with them? Did I not show them empathy? Did I not pour out my heart on their behalf? Ogmo nafshi lo evyon. Ribbono, you have to repeat the words imlo. That is to repeat it a second time. Imlo, ogmo nafshi lo evyon. Did I not have agmas nefesh for the poor man? So why do I deserve to suffer? If my friends are correct, that I'm a Rasha, that I have cheated all the poor people, I've exploited them, and brought upon them harm, then you're right, I deserve to suffer. But you, Hashem, know it's not so. You know that I always showed compassion to the poor and to include the people who suffer. So why then am I suffering so much? Did I not cry on behalf of people who had suffered, for people who had difficult times, for those people who had bad luck? The second part of the pasuk, I have agmas nefesh, due to the poverty of the poor man, to sympathize and show empathy in his tzara. Of course I did. So why am I suffering? Rashi pasuk hafei, you Hashem know good and well, and you recognize. In lohayisi rachmani, did I not show compassion? Uboichan cry alaniim kshayoyim on poor men who had a difficult time. Va'ogma nafshi, you Hashem are well aware that I had agmas nefesh leevyoinim al ki al kol ele bosani zos, and yet despite of all of this. Bosani Zos, look what has come upon me. Look at the tzaras that have come upon me. Basically, what Rashi is saying, it's not fair. Okay, Rashi. I'm sorry, next pasuk. Pasuk Avav continues, Ki toiv kivisi. I always yearned for their good. I always hoped that the bad fortune of the poor should change. But instead, Vayavo Ra. And yet, what has happened? Evil has come upon me. Vayachlo la'or, I always yearned for good. La'or means for light, for the poor people. I always wanted good for them. And how was I repaid? Vayava ofel. It's not fair. I always wished good for people. And how did you repay me for my good wishes? I suffered. I wanted good to happen to my friend, and I expect Hashem should reward me mida k'neged mida. If I want to see my friend have benefit, I also should have benefit. But instead, I received evil. I yearned that my friend should have light, and instead of me also having light, I received darkness.
So he expects his empathy to shield him?
Yeah, he's just saying it's not fair. It's not fair that I should suffer. Let's see pasuk chavav. Let's see more detail. Pasuk chavav kivisi ki ba olai oynishmar. It has come upon me. That's the second part of this expression in oynishmar, bitter punishment. Asher kivisi letov. Although I yearn for good, vayavara ki ilu hoya as if hoya biyadi avoin ze, as if I did a terrible avera. Okay, it's similar to what I said. Let's see. Rashi, ki toiv kivisi, kiloimar, ki hagmul hazeh roi li. I deserved reward. Ki toiv kivisi, I yearned for good, and therefore I deserved good. But instead of getting good, I got instead ra. I yearned.
Doesn't mean that because he yearns for good, he deserves good.
That's his complaint. No, but not only you yearn for good for someone else. It's not just for yourself. You're yearning that other people should have good. I wasn't right. I wasn't selfish. Okay, pasuk chav zayin. May I rutuchu? My stomach, my innards, rutuchu had compassion. Rutuchu means to boil. It means to be heated, and in this context, it means. I had mercy. When a person has mercy, Chazal describe it as his body is warm. Chamimus. Chamimus means warmth. Literally means heat. It's an expression. I showed compassion for other people. Volodomu, when I was not still. I did not stand still like a stone when I saw someone suffer. When I saw someone suffer, I was filled with heat. My body boiled. I had mercy, compassion. I was not still. Yet, how was I rewarded? How was I rewarded for my good feelings towards other people? Kidmuni yimei oni. It came upon me, it preceded me, the days of affliction. I got worse than what the other person was received. It came to me days of affliction. Pasuk of Zayin and Mitzudos. May I rasuchu? Haloi. Is it not true, Hashem? May I rasuchu? What does that mean? My innards boiled? Ki homu may I lo? My insides were moved. Lachmol alof, to show compassion to a person that suffered. V'leishosku min harisicha. I was not silent. I was not still from my emotions. The im kol zeh, and nevertheless, what happened? Kidmuni yimei oni. It came upon me, it swiftly came upon me days of affliction. In other words, it's not fair. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always judge a person, mida keneged mida. The same way you treat others is how Hashem will treat you. I showed compassion to others, and yet you, Hashem, have not kept your end of the deal. You brought upon me suffering, and not just did you bring upon me suffering, you brought it upon me swiftly. Kidmuni. It came upon me swiftly, all of this form of suffering. Yes?
They speak here of having compassion, mercy, everything, blood boiling, but doesn't speak of any action on his part to help people.
It's self-understood. It's self-understood that showing mercy, being filled with mercy, automatically means I've also done things. I've also given large donations. I've also assisted them. I've took them into my home. It's self-understood, especially from the previous program, where there in the previous program he actually mentioned explicitly that he always did take action. He wasn't just a person of words. Rashi pasuk of Zayin v'lo damu ein yecholim lidam ulahachrish. You're not able to be silent. To be still and silent. Meaning what he said before. What he said before is that I was not able. I took note of the suffering of others and I was not silent. Pasuk chaf ches. Koider hilachti b'loy chama. He's describing now his state of being. I'm black. I have a tan. B'loy chama, without a sun. A person wants his skin to become dark, what do? You go out into the beach, you lie on the beach, you get a nice tan. But my flesh is dark, it's been burnt from fever, not due to the rays of the sun, but instead due to my illness. Kamti bakahol, and therefore he says, because of my suffering, I have risen up in the assembly, ashaveya, and I'm going to scream, I'm going to complain. He's expressing here, I'm bitter that I suffer for crimes that I did not commit. I stand up in public and I cry out. I complain to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair what you have done to me. Let's look at Pasuk Chavches in the Mitzvah of David. Koyder, Ratzalaymar, Kamo Hanishcha Mi'atzmoi, a person has become black due to illness by himself. V'lo shezifato hashamesh. My darkness is not because I have a nice tan, because the sun has shone upon me. Because what would be the nafkamina? A person goes out to the beach and has a nice tan, and you then go into the shade, and then the winter comes. After a few weeks, the tan goes away. The body goes back to its original color, returns to its light complexion. But my complexion, the color of my skin is not going away. It remains black. The reason why it remains black is because the darkness of my skin is not due to the rays of the sun, it's due to my illness. The loy shalosh is not because shezefato hashemesh, the sun has shone down upon me. Because if that was the case, because if it's dark because of the rays of the sun, it returns to its original color, kilo selech when you go into shade. However, my blackness is not going to go away when I go into a room that has shade. Why? And I have no hope that my illness will go away. Because it has come upon me not due to any sin, because if my Yisurim would have come upon me because of my Averos, then there are rules. What are the rules? After you have you've served your time, then you go free. You're a free man. A crime has a limit. A punishment is limited. So if a person commits a crime, he's given a punishment, he suffers the punishment, and then he goes back to his old life. But that's only if you're being punished because you've committed a crime. But if you're being punished because for no reason, then you can't expect the punishment to go away. You'll suffer for the rest of your life. So he's saying, being that I know for a fact that the punishment that I'm receiving is not because of my Yisurim, I have no expectation that my suffering will go away, my skin will remain dark forever. Ki bo lie below avinu pesha. My punishment has come upon me without any sin, without any avinu pesha.
Or any sin would have been expunged by the Yisurim.
And I would then think sheyimorku ha'avon, the sin will be purged, the yelchu lahem, and go away after I've received my punishment. Ulechein, therefore, since I know it's never going to go away, I'm going to die in this state, kamti, I stand up b'kahal rav, in a large assembly, v'etzak, and I cry and I complain, hol sin, su v'enkach v'enkach lo yelchu ha'yisurim, I know that it's nothing, that it's never going to go away. I know that I'm being tortured unfairly, unjustly, and that's why I'm bitter, and that's why I'm going to complain in public about my miserable state of being. Rashi, b'loy chema, my blackness, my koideh. We're almost talking the word of the pasuk. Koideh means my darkness.
Because like a
kideh ra is a pot. The bottom of the pot is black due to the fire. In my darkness, I travel b'loy chama, not due to the sun. Rashi, lo shezefasni hashemesh. It's not because the sun has shined down upon me. V'hinoni koideh, and yet I am black. I'm black due to my illness, and that's why I get up and I cry and I complain. That's what he's saying. That is his complaint. That's exactly the point of Eif. He's complaining that it's not fair. We have two creatures. We have the Tanim. Okay, these are some sea creatures. And we have the Benosiana, ostriches. And these two creatures, whatever they are, they continuously cry. They scream and they complain. So Eiv says, I am one of them. I'm a brother to them. I'm a companion. An ach and a rea. Two words which mean the same thing. I'm a friend and a brother. I'm a companion. Just like these two creatures continuously scream, they howl, they roar, I will continue to complain, to express my bitterness in public for this injustice. I am a brother, meaning I am similar. Litanim ubnos yana kihema yishavu. How am I similar to them? They scream the entire day. Hema yishavu v'yitzaku tamid. They continuously scream, mibli hefsik, without any relief. Uchamokein gamani. I will continue to scream and complain without any relief until you take away my until I die. Okay, Rashi says pasuk. There is no Rashi. Pasuk of Tes, Achi Yisil Tanim, Tanim Ubnosiana, Asukim Bibchi Kol Yimehem, they are Isik and crying, howling, complaining all of their days. Pasuk Lamit, Oiri Shochar Me'olai, my skin is black from upon me. From upon me, the color has transformed to a black complexion. The atzmi chorev mine chorev, my bones are darker than chorev. Chorev is darkness. The essence of darkness. My bones are darker than the essence of darkness. Pasuk lamed the mitzudos, oiri shochar, nishchar oiri asher mimal, my skin that rests upon my body is dark. The atzmi nisyavish, and my bones are dried out, min choymacholi, due to the heat of the illness. So choro, he's translating not to mean choro means they're hot, means they're dry. My bones have withered; they have dried out. Mine chorev, from the heat of my illness. Rashi lamed choro loshon davar hanechre umesiabesh. It means something that has become hot and dry. Due to the heat of the fire, kumo nachar mapuach. It means the heat of the bellows. The bellows when it blows. The bellows the produces air. V'toychoy nichar. Another pasuk. The inside has become parched.
What does Yeltsin got to complain about? Hashem gave us this beautiful feather, such a beautiful creature.
Why does he complain? I don't know the answer. But that's the nature of the Benosian. The Benosian is always in a state of crying. Okay, one more pasuk. Then the end of the parak. The pasuk concludes. Vayihi le'evil kinori v'ugavi l'kol boichem. My kinor and my uga. In the good old days, I had an orchestra, and they would play the harp and the ugav. What is an ugav? Some say it's like an organ, some type of whatever it is, different translations, whatever it is, but it's a musical instrument. And these two musical instruments now have been transformed into instruments of mourning. My musical instruments I've turned into avel and the sound of cries. pasuk lamnaf the mitzudos that he labeled kinar kinari mashu galti meoz l'shma kol kinar. In the past, in the good old days, I would listen to music to the sound of the kinar and the sound of the yugov. Now, in my present matzav, nepach atel asig be'evil am oisik in mourning the kol boichim the sound of cries. He concludes his bitter state. His bitter state. Lamed, there is no that a lot of okay. That concludes. Let's go next part. Now, really, it's a continuation. There doesn't seem to be the real chapter break at this point. He continues, Bris Karati Le'inoi. No, I take it back. There is a little bit of a break. He's now going to continue to complain that he's a tzaddik and he has done nothing wrong. And now he presents his good deeds. He enumerates things that he has done that should have protected him from suffering. These are very interesting psukim. He now describes the concept. It's interesting that today there's such a Baruch Hashem, there's an obsession today with the zehirus of shmiras einayim. Now we've all heard, we all see all the advertisements, how important it is to have filters and this and that about seeing things that are not proper. And here he devotes a few psukim to describe, it's very interesting, these psukim, he describes that he was extremely diligent in guarding his eyes from not seeing things that are improper. And he makes the claim, the argument, this zuchus, this merit of guarding his eyes should have protected me from all of the suffering that I'm now receiving. And he is Bris Korati Le'inoi. I made a treaty with my eyes. The treaty was not to look at things that I should not be seeing. And I did not even look at a unmarried woman. It's one thing not to look at a married woman because she's an Esh Hasish, she's forbidden. But to look at a woman who's not married, what's so terrible? If I really like her, I can marry her. Or at least I should look at her. If I like her, I'll marry her off to one of my children. It's good for Shaduchim. I'll know what... I'll be a Shadchan. So I'll look at women in order to be Mesharech them with people that I know. No, Yehov says, I didn't go into that line of business. I didn't go into that line of business, not because it's not a good business, it's because I was Nizr and Shmir Sinayim, and I guess he says, I have a Yetzirah, and I'm going to look at all these young women, I'm going to have thoughts that are not proper, or, as we'll see in the Medrash is a very bizarre Medrash. If I look at an unmarried woman, and I'll like her, she'll be pleasant in my eyes, it might happen that years later she'll get married, and then she'll turn into an Eshes Ish, and I'll still be thinking about her. And at that point in time, I'll be thinking about an Eshes Ish, which is certainly not proper. I don't know. That's going pretty far. These are extreme measures. Okay, he's even more machmir than today. He's even more machmir than this generation. Not possible. But these are very powerful psukim. Let's say, look at the Mitzvot Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk Mitzvot. Bris Korati Le'inoi. I establish a covenant with my eyes. Koimer, he means to say, Madua Kirani Kolela. Powerful stuff. Why do I suffer? The merit of not looking at women should have protected me. Madua Kirani Kolela Haloi Korati Bris Leinai. Lebal Yistaklu Bidovar Ha'asr. Not to look at things that are forbidden. Umahi Hazman. And he repeats himself. Did it ever happen once in my life that I closely looked at an unmarried woman? Umahi Hazman Asher Esboinain. I looked carefully. Al Besula. I never looked at her. I only gave a small glance. The word hisplain, like we have two words in the Chazal. Ri'ya and istaklus. Ri'ya means just to give a quick look. You have to see where you're going in the streets. What? A glance. Histaklus means to stare. It means to stare. So here it seems that the way the Mitzvot learned Pasuk is the word esbainain means to stare. I never stared at a single woman. I glanced at her, but I was never esbainain kiyam zman miut. I just gave a quick glance. The ace at the time, achoshev, when did I look at a woman? I look at a woman to determine maybe I want to marry her. A person is a lot of sheikadish isha at sheirena. The ace achoshev ulai esoena. Ani, myself, oh, bini, I looked at a woman very quickly just to determine maybe she's good for myself or for one of my children. I never stared at a woman long in the amount of time that's necessary just to know to see who I'm looking at. And therefore, Rashi, the Mitzvah concludes, he concludes, and therefore, in this merit of the bris, ashakrati be'inayim, this sechus should have protected me from all of this suffering. Hey, Rashi says something very similar. Rashi breaks the pasuk into two parts. The first part of the pasuk is, I never looked at an eshesis, period. Never. This was my merit, my chasidus. I never looked at leaving an unmarried woman. Here is Rashi's quoting from Medrash. Very interesting Medrash. Shema, maybe. La'achar yamim, maybe this single woman will one day get married. You know, say, v'nimtzasi kodach achalecha, and I'll remember what she looked like from years ago, and I'll still think about her. And at this point in time, I'm now thinking about an ashes ish, which is serious business. Kach mufurish ba'avos de Rebbe Nosson. Now, we have actually a whole avos Rebbe Nosson, but basically Rashi said the entire theme. And that's his complaint. That's this pasuk is his complaint, his first complaint of why that alone should have served as a merit in order not to suffer these horrible yisrim. Okay, we'll stop here. Pasuk base.
Question.